I'm Grady Kirkpatrick. A pleasure to be with you on a Friday morning. Hope you're doing well. And also a real pleasure to welcome in Hal Cannon and Teresa Jordan this morning to Morning Music. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you for coming. If you're not familiar with Hal, singer, songwriter, Western folklorist, longtime musician, and actually founding director of the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko, Nevada. Correct?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. The bands that you've worked with, Red Rock Rondo, one of them. Is it the Deseret String Band and Bunkhouse Orchestra? You've also been a guest many times on Weekend Edition with National Public Radio and produced some fantastic programs all centered around the West.
Yep.
Welcome.
Work. Thank you.
Great to have you. And Teresa Jordan, and fantastic author. She's written Riding the White Horse Home and Cowgirls from Southeast Wyoming here, right around Iron Mountain, and also a pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
It's great to be back in Wyoming.
Yes, indeed. And you're both based down in Utah, right?
Yeah,
we are in Salt Lake.
Okay. Well, welcome to Wyoming, and why don't we kick off with a tune? It's Hal Cannon with Teresa Jordan.
Yeah, this is one called Wyoming Home. It's an old time song.
And he wooed me with this song.
Oh, okay. There's a little history with this one.
That's right. There's a place in Wyoming I'm longing to be, where the air is so pure and the wind blows free, where the cowboys gather by the campfire so bright to yodel and sing in the lone starry night. Roll on, little dogies, roll on, roll on, roll on, little dogies, roll on. Night after night I sit all alone, watching the stars and the pale silvery moon. My fancy nearby, my pinto I see, back in Wyoming I'm longing to be. Oh, my Wyoming home, my dear old Wyoming home. I'll jump in my saddle and away I will ride, over the hills and across the divide, back to my Wyoming home. I'm leaving Wyoming, I left long ago, left me with memories that I cherish so. A gray-haired mother and a little red shack, songs of the prairie are calling me back. Roll on, little dogies, roll on, roll on, roll on, little dogies, roll on. I'm leaving today for a Wyoming town to see all my friends and the cowboys around. No one knows how glad I will be if I can find mother waiting for me. Oh, my Wyoming home, my dear old Wyoming home. I'll jump in my saddle and away I will ride, over the hills and across the divide, back to my Wyoming home.
Wyoming Home from Hal Cannon and Teresa Jordan here on Morning Music at Wyoming Public Radio. That was beautiful. If I can, let me ask you a little bit about both your backgrounds growing up in the West. First, Teresa, coming from around Iron Mountain. What are some of your best memories in that era growing up in that part of the state?
You know, I when I was small, it was still dirt road much of the way out there. It's 50 miles from Cheyenne. Cheyenne was where we went to do business. Mm-hmm. And when I was born, there was still 16 miles of dirt road. By the time I went to school, there was just 7 miles of dirt road. And that's where the end of the pavement was, where the one-room schoolhouse was. That pointed at outdoor plumbing. We didn't have a phone. We got indoor plumbing in the school. We had indoor plumbing at home, but mm-hmm. not at school. We got indoor plumbing in the school when I was in about third grade. That's about when the phone came in. So mm-hmm. even though it's not that long ago, it's still it's the sort of little home on the prairie story.
I expect you did a fair amount of work, right? As part of growing up on a ranch, that's pretty much required.
We did. And my brother was a year and a half older than I. And we grew up from an early point really working actively on the ranch. And, mm-hmm. and of course, the first thing that you start doing is the brandings and helping to round up for brandings. But by the time I was seven or so, my brother and I would check the cattle in the summer while the men put up hay. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, it was serious. If we needed to find this at cattle, we need to be sure they had salt and mineral, and mm-hmm. and of course then the men would drive out and deliver that, but we needed to know what was going on and be sure the bulls were doing their work and scattered around. So it was and I loved it. I loved the animals, mm-hmm. and I loved horses. I loved riding. I liked cows. I liked being out. Mm-hmm. And I've just been so grateful always to have that sort of childhood where you really do have a role. You have responsibility, and work is a family. It's economy. It's sure. home economics sure. in the truest form.
Did you venture to Cheyenne often for entertainment or just for the weekend?
You know, we didn't. We did. We went on balance. My mother went to town once a week for groceries. Yeah. When you know, and sometimes it would be a couple of weeks. But on balance, we did. And we had. My father couldn't swim. He was afraid of water. And so mm-hmm. one thing that was important to him was that we would learn to swim. We went into Cheyenne usually when we were little, once mm-hmm. a week, and we took swimming lessons in town and had connections there.
Great, great. And how you grew up, was it around Salt Lake?
Yeah, I grew up in Salt Lake.
What are some of your early memories of growing up in Salt Lake?
Well, I come from a family who always had one foot in agriculture and one foot in the city. Mm-hmm. My dad supported his ag habit by having a job in the city,
and
my grandfather was a doctor, but he had a dairy farm. My great-grandfather was a senator, and he was the first senator from Utah, and he had a farm. And so I remember going out to the farm, driving the tractor, hiding out, trying not to do work. I was sort of a lazy kid.
Okay.
Can I tell a story? You know, you fall in love with your partner for so many reasons, but I learned this story early and it just has always tickled me. But Hal, of his siblings, he was the one who didn't like the farm, though later he's been involved in agriculture more than anyone else. But he was always trying to hide out. And he also loved kites. He just loved flying kites. Mm-hmm. And one thing he did like about the farm was when the ground had just been plowed, and he loved those deep furrows and the smell of the dirt. So he would go lay down in a furrow where no one could see him, except that he'd be flying his kite. So there'd just be this kite coming out of the furrow.
I didn't realize they'd be able to follow the string down.
Oh boy, that's funny. Hal, what initially inspired you to pursue songwriting and then all things West, basically?
You know, I'm a folklorist, and I was the first folk arts coordinator from Utah, and we started the Cowboy Poetry Gathering out in Elko, Nevada, and I was so inspired by not only the cowboys that did the old traditional poems, but just the creativity of these cowboys who wrote about their lives bravely. And so I thought I'd start writing some songs. I'm not much of a poet, but I really like to write songs. And I sort of did it in the closet for a long time. And these days, folklorists are sort of supposed to study other people. They're not supposed to say much themselves, except, mm-hmm. you know, be erudite and all that stuff. But I'm at this point in my life, I just want to write songs and sing them and mm-hmm. use the experiences I've had. Been blessed to be able to go out all over the West and interview people for NPR mostly, mm-hmm. and all these stories that are sort of rattling around in my head and all these experiences, I just want to have them come out as songs.
We got to talk to Gary McMahon a few weeks ago, and he was talking about, I guess, some of the early cowboy poets, and not necessarily a whole lot of recognition before the cowboy gathering, but they'd be written down on napkins or gunny sacks or just wherever they could write, they would write the poetry out and then discovered. And it's a great thing that was started how many years ago?
It's 27 years, and Gary was involved since the beginning. In fact, he played at our wedding out at Iron Mountain when we got married 20 years ago.
Wow. All right. I hear we have a story coming up?
Well, Teresa, when we perform, I sing songs. She sings with me. Well, has a lovely voice, but she also tells stories from the ranch. And
I'll tell a little story from the ranch. This comes from when I was 6 and my brother was about 8. And we decided to run away from home. And we announced this to my mother, and she thought it sounded like a pretty good idea. So she made us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and poured us thermoses of milk. And then she took these provisions and wrapped them up with some fruit and candy bars and hobo handkerchiefs. And we hung those on sticks and slung them over our shoulders and took off down the road. And our ultimate destination was Chugwater, which was 26 dirt road miles away. But we were realistic. We knew we wouldn't do that in a day. And so our first goal was to make it to the Vineyard family that lived on the far end of the ranch, and that was 5 miles away. So at midday, about noon, we'd reach the halfway point, which is the railroad trestle that crosses Chugwater Creek. We were just about to scramble down the bank and have lunch by the side of the creek, and we saw this horse and rider galloping toward us. And immediately we recognized that it was our father. So, of course, we stopped and waited. And, you know, a horse and rider galloping across the plain in the heat of summer really does kick up a trail of dust, and it's grand. And our father sat a fine figure on a horse. He was a big man. He was 6'4" in stocking feet, so in boots and hat, he was much taller. And that day he rode Tequila, this big, beautiful white gelding. Dad always used a spade bit, and he had the lightest hands. And we just could hardly wait to tell him of our big adventure. He galloped up to us. He pulled to a stop. We didn't have a chance. He said, "What the heck are you kids doing out here?" And he actually didn't say heck. "What the heck are you kids doing out here? Just turn around. Get yourselves home." And he spurred his horse, and he was gone. And so, of course, we turned around and we started the long trudge home. And the day was suddenly hotter and a blister burst on my heel. And we were thirsty, but the thought of milk was gagging. And Blight asked me if I wanted a sandwich, and I shook my head. "Me neither," he said. So we trudged along with our heads down. But at one point, my brother looked up and he said, "Oh, look, it's Mom." We could see the station wagon in the distance coming toward us. But then as it got close to us, we realized it wasn't Mom. It was our father. And he pulled up to us and he opened the door and he handed out cold Cokes. And then he said, "I'm sorry. I didn't know you had permission." So we crawled in the car. And each day when my dad would go in at lunch, he'd take off his boots and his dirty shirt before he greeted my mother. And so at this point, he was just wearing his white undershirt and slip-on tennis shoes. And I remember looking at him in the light blazing in through the windshield. And he burned easily, so he never went outside without a long-sleeve shirt. And his arms were just pure white as chicken skin. And he looked bleached, inconsequential. And this is my father, a kindly man, driving a station wagon, wearing slip-on tennis shoes and offering Cokes and apologies. And this, too, is my father, a horseman in all his fineness and his fury, racing across an endless plain.
It's beautiful. Teresa Jordan, author, wife of Hal Cannon, on Morning Music here at Wyoming Public Radio. A great story. 6 years old, running away from home. What is the name of that, or is there?
pardon the name of that story.
Yes.
As a little story like that, I call it Running Away from Home. It's actually in the memoir I wrote of Iron Mountain called Riding the White Horse Home, and it's part of one of the chapters in there titled Legends, which mm-hmm. is about the four generations of men in my family on the ranch there.
Outstanding. Hal Cannon, Teresa Jordan with us. You want to play a live one or one off the new CD?
Let's listen to the new CD.
All right. Yeah, tell us about this. Jim Rooney producing this.
Yeah.
Legendary producer. Nice to snag him.
Yeah, Jim is somebody I've known for a long time. And I wrote him and I said, Jim, I'm really hopelessly lost in my own recording session, which has gone on now for 2 years. Could you come and help me? And he says... He said, yeah, I'll come out just before Thanksgiving last year. And he had 4 days. And he said, organize it, get the musicians together, and I'll whip you guys into shape.
Good. So that's what you needed, right?
Exactly what I needed. So Jim came out, stayed with us, and he's a fabulous producer. He's a great musician himself. And he's produced so many wonderful albums over the years. And I think he was Americana Producer of the Year last year. We got it done. And my friend Willie Matthews, who's a great painter in Denver, painted the cover and designed it, and we put it out.
Very striking.
Well, thank you.
It's a nice painting of Hal right on front. And tell us about Hitting the Trail, how that song came about.
Hitting the Trail is an old classic cowboy poem by one of those guys you were talking about that wrote his poems on napkins, a guy named Bruce Kiscadden. And I found that poem and I said, this deserves to be a song. So I put it to music. And it's actually on about 24 albums at this point. A lot of people recorded and they have no idea that I put it to music. But it's one that I share with Bruce Kiscadden's wonderful words.
All right. It's Hal Cannon, Hitting the Trail, from the self-titled new release here on Morning Music.
Rides high in the cloudless sky, stars are shining bright. The dark pines show on the hills below, the mountains capped with white. My spurs they ring and the song I sing is set to my horse's stride. We gallop along to an old-time song as out on the trail we ride. I'm hitting the trail tonight, I'm hitting the trail tonight. My horse is pulling the bridle reins, I'm hitting the trail tonight. I did not try to say goodbye, let somebody else do that. I'll ride alone and I'll find a home wherever I hang my hat. Let people that sit and talk explain just whether I'm wrong or right. My horse is pulling the bridle reins, I'm hitting the trail tonight. The moon shines down on the rolling plains, tops of the mountains white. My horse is pulling the bridle reins, I'm hitting the trail tonight. I'm hitting the trail tonight, I'm hitting the trail tonight. My horse is pulling the bridle reins, I'm hitting the trail tonight.
Hitting the trail tonight, Hal Cannon from the new self-titled release here on Wyoming Public Radio. Grady Kirkpatrick in with Hal and Teresa Jordan. We've got time for one more live tune for us. Tell us what you have lined up.
Teresa's going to play the recorder. Well, this beautiful little melody called Flowers of the Forest.
the multi-talented author, storyteller, and musician, Teresa Jordan, on the recorder, along with Hal Cannon this morning, also quite the talent and songwriter. Started the Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko, Nevada. Just a pleasure to have you guys in. When you walked in, I felt like I know you guys.
Well, I've been around a lot of public radio stations, too. I feel very much at home in front of these.
Well, you've done some
mics.
Wonderful productions, and I know here on Wyoming Public Radio we have, it maybe been a year or two, maybe three, the Cowboy Christmas show that you produced. Very good.
Well, thank you.
Most excellent. And again, thank you for coming in. Teresa Jordan, author of Riding the Wild Horse Home and Cowgirls. And all right. Well, I asked Hal to play DJ and asked him if he'd pick a song out from a CD that we have. It's a nice compilation called Don't Fence Me In, Western Music's Early Golden Era. Okay, Hal, you want to set it up? You're Wilf Carter.
Well, right? One of my favorites was a great yodeler named Wilf Carter, Montana Slim. And actually, there's some old recordings of him. He was a sponsor of Lucky Strike cigarettes.
Oh, boy.
He'd get on and he'd say, now hear this yodel. And he'd yodel and he says, I couldn't do that without Lucky Strikes.
Anyway. Those were the days.
Yeah, I guess that was pre-1970. I think
exactly.
That's when they banned cigarette ads. But anyway, we'll do this one. It's Wilf Carter, Montana Slim. And the title of the tune I kind of like, There's a Love Knot in My Lariat.
I'll be thinking of you, pal, at sunset time.